Hi, this is Dan Sheridan with number 10 in our series on the life and letters of the Apostle Paul. Last time we started the first chapter of Galatians. We'll be studying this first chapter only, merely because what happens here in Galatians 1 is this is the chapter where Paul shows that his message is distinct and his apostleship is distinct and his ministry is distinct from that of the 12 apostles at Jerusalem. One of the greatest, I think, problems we have in the body of Christ today is mixing Paul with the 12. Paul is another apostle. He's a different apostle, apostle of a different order. The 12 apostles were apostles chosen by Christ when he was on earth. The apostle Paul was chosen by the risen and ascended Christ outside of Jerusalem. And I think that's a very important distinction to make. And also his message was different. And this is what we're seeing in Galatians 1. We learned last time that Paul's apostleship was not from men, neither through a man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father. We saw that if anyone brought a different message, a different good news or evangel than that which Paul brought to the Galatians, if anyone brought the Galatians a different message than what Paul proclaimed to them, that they were to be dealt with by God, they were to bear their judgment. And this is an important thing because Paul's message to the Galatians was not repent and be baptized. It wasn't keep the Ten Commandments or any kind anything of that kind. Paul's message to the Galatians was about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. The gospel, the evangel of the grace of God, is not about sin, it's not about yourself, and it's not about cleaning up your life. It's a good news about Christ, God's Son, who died for our sins, was entombed, and was roused again the third day, according to the Scriptures. That message alone is the power of God to salvation. It's that message alone that brings justification. God declares a man righteous as he is. He doesn't wait for you to clean up your life. And he justifies you as an ungodly or irreverent sinner. And it's grace. Once a man is a believer in Christ and has been justified, it's only then that he can even do the proper good works. But we should never, ever forget that good works and salvation are two completely different things. Good works and justification. So we're now in verse 10 where Paul says in Galatians 1, for at present, am I persuading men or God, or am I seeking to please men? Now notice what Paul is saying here, that when it comes to the message of the gospel, the message that brings justification, he would never compromise. He would not please men in this situation. And when people teach a different evangel than what Paul preached, there can be no fellowship there. If one man says that justification is through the finished work of Jesus Christ apart from works of any kind, and another man says that justification or salvation comes through man's believing and getting baptized, getting wet somehow, or doing this, that, or the other, there can be no common ground because one is taking his stand completely on the cross work of Jesus Christ, and another is taking his stand on something man does. And we cannot ever give way to that kind of teaching. Now, Paul doesn't say he never pleased men. As a matter of fact, in Romans 15, he says we're to please others. And in that sense, though, it's to please others for their edification. And but when it comes to the foundation of the message of the gospel, Paul would never give ground to men. And he says, if I still pleased men in this situation, if I still pleased men with regards to preaching a message they'd be happy with, I were not a slave of Christ. I cannot be Christ's slave, Paul says, and at the same time compromise the gospel of the grace of God. And then he says this, for I am making known to you, brethren, that as to the evangel, that is the good news, which is being brought by me, notice what he's saying there, that it is not in accord with man. Remember we said Galatians 1, we have the phrase not, neither, but three times. We saw in verse 1, it's not his apostleship is not from men, neither through a man, but through Jesus Christ. Well, here it says that the evangel which he brought, the brethren, he says, for I am making known to you, brethren, as to the evangel which is being brought by me, that it is not in accord with man. In other words, man could never have come up with the message that Paul proclaimed. No philosopher of any kind, I don't care if it's John Locke or Aristotle or Plato or any of them, would ever have come up with a message that says that God does all the saving and man does all the being saved. No man would have ever come up with a message that says that man can do nothing, that man can only be the recipient of salvation. As a matter of fact, not even our faith itself is a good work. It's a gift of God. It's been graciously granted to us not only to believe on Him, but to suffer for His sake. God gives you the faith to believe. Faith is not a good work, and even any good works are contrary to Paul's evangel to us Gentiles, us sinners among the Gentiles. So it says, it's not according to man. The evangel of God's grace is not in accord with man. No man would ever come up with a program that says man can do nothing. And then it says this. He says, for neither, we had not, now neither, for neither did I accept it from a man, neither did I accept it from a man, nor was I taught it. Now notice this, the Apostle Paul did not receive his message from any man. That means that he didn't go to Peter to learn it. And he was not taught it. He didn't go to Peter to learn it. As a matter of fact, there was an instance in the book of Acts when the Samaritans heard the message of the gospel that was being preached in early Acts through the testimony in Acts chapter 8. When that man preached to the Samaritans, Peter and them had to come down and lay hands on them to show that authority was still vested in the 12. But Paul did no such thing. When God converted Paul, God didn't say, well, before Paul can be welcomed, he has to go to Peter. No, no, not at all. And he says this, but it came through a revelation of Jesus Christ. So first of all, his evangel is not accord with man, neither did he accept it from man, and he wasn't taught it, but through a revelation of Jesus Christ. There we have not, neither, but again. So Paul's evangel came through a revelation of Jesus Christ. Now this phrase here, revelation of Jesus Christ, does not mean that Paul was sitting down one day and reading some scripture and all of a sudden he got revelation. You know, like sometimes when you and I talk, I think we use our words on not very carefully sometimes, but you and I do not get direct revelation today because we have the scriptures. The revelation is complete. We have them. Now, we can get illumination as we study the scriptures, but it's not the same as revelation. We can get the spirit of revelation, but that's because something's already written, but we don't get direct revelation itself. But when Paul says he received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ, it means he had direct appearances. Now, think about this, friends. After Paul was converted, how was he converted? First, he was converted to a personal appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ to him. Christ converted him personally through a personal appearance. In Acts chapter 9, as we studied a couple studies back, we saw that the risen Christ appeared to Paul on the road to Damascus. But that wasn't all. If you turn for a moment to Acts chapter 26, we're going to see something. In Acts chapter 26, Paul says something here that is very important. And in Acts chapter 26, Paul is giving his testimony, and starting on, let's go at verse 12. Among which persecutions, going to Damascus with the authority and permission of the chief priests, at midday on the road I perceived, O king, a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining about me and those going together with me. Besides it all of us falling down to the earth, I hear a voice saying to me in the Hebrew vernacular, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Hard is it for you to be kicking against the goads. Now I say, who art thou, Lord? Now the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I was seen by you. Now notice what he says here. I was seen by you. Paul was seen. Christ was seen by Paul physically right there on the road to Damascus. Why? For this, to fix upon you before for a deputy and a witness both of what you have perceived. Paul just perceived the risen Christ on the road to Damascus, and that in which I will be seen by you. So not only was Paul to be a witness of what he saw on the road to Damascus when he saw the risen Christ, but it says here that Christ was going to be seen by Paul yet again in the future. So what we learn from this is that the risen Christ came and gave Paul, he personally appeared to him many times. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul says, I will come to visions, plural, and revelations, of the Lord. Let me say it again. Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 12, if boasting must be, though it is not expedient, indeed yet I shall also be coming to apparitions and revelations of the Lord. So Paul was going to get personal appearances, and Paul was going to be given a message from the risen and ascended Christ that was suited to the era in which we live, that pertains to us Gentiles. So, God chose Paul to be the steward of this great message that is for the body of Christ. We, members of the body of Christ, have a relationship to Paul similar to that relationship that the children of Israel had to Moses. Paul is like our Moses. Just as Moses went up Mount Sinai to receive the tablets of the commandments to bring to Israel, so Paul ascended up to glory itself, met the risen Christ, and came down with a message for us of exceeding rich grace. And friends, that's the treasure we've been given through this vessel, Paul. And remember, it's not so much the vessel that's important as the treasure which it contains. We'll talk again next time.